God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. The Lord said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. We spoke yesterday, and we'll speak again about the state of mind of the man to whom we'd refer to as president. That's Joe Biden, of course. He's not president. It's very, very clear he's not running the country. The big question for Americans is, who is running the country? A lot of us have theories. It's been fascinating to watch the attempt to, well, rehabilitate his image, sitting down with George Stephanopoulos, who is still a Democrat operative, still giving advice to the Democrats on how to win elections, but still somehow gets to call himself a journalist. Over the weekend, of course, you saw, maybe you didn't hear this particular piece, George Stephanopoulos talking to figurehead Biden.
What's your plan to turn the campaign around?
You saw it today. How many people do you get draw crowds like I drew today? You find me any more enthusiastic than today?
Huh? I don't think you want to play the crowd game. Donald Trump can draw big crowds. There's no question about that.
He can draw a big crowd, but what does he say? Who does he have? I'm the guy supposedly in trouble.
Drawing big crowds? This was the political instinct of Joe Biden, to say that he can draw big crowds. Fact of the matter is, in comparison to President Trump, he doesn't draw anybody. And I would literally enjoy saying this if it weren't so unbelievably sad and dangerous that our country has become a country of lies. The country itself is what? It's a landmass. It's resources. But what is the country? We're wed together by a document, the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Electoral College. But those documents sit in rooms. They're inert. Until they're enforced by human beings or respected by human beings, they're simply inert. We all know the story of when the Jewish people almost completely forgot the law. You remember that? It was a king. He'd become king when he was 9, and my memory's failing me. I guess that's what I get for talking about dementia, the name of the king. His people brought him this book. This is the law. And once the law was back in place, Israel could start to come back to God. In our case, not all of us have forgotten. Not all of us have forgotten the founding documents, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, or more importantly, the Word of God and the way God has blessed us. But when the nation has a man at the very tip top who says things like this during a radio interview on WURD, that he was given the questions. In fact, the interviewer only asked questions the Biden team gave her. And this is one of the answers.
By the way, I'm proud to be, as I said, the first vice president, first black woman to serve with a black president. I'm proud of the first black woman in the Supreme Court. There's just so much.
He, of course, misspoke, saying he was proud to be the first black vice president. And it's these misspeaking moments that lead us into such incredible danger. During a time of an attack, do we know that the man we're to refer to as president isn't going to misspeak and say fire? When in fact he means something else? These are serious times. The fact is this, that Joe Biden will sometimes speak truth when it slips out of him. Again, listen closely as Biden describes why he's such a winner.
Elections are about the future, not the past. They're about tomorrow, not yesterday. And the question on so many people's minds right now is, can you serve effectively for the next 4 years?
George, I'm the guy that put NATO together, the future. No one thought I could expand it. I'm the guy that shut Putin down. No one thought it could happen. I'm the guy that put together the South Pacific Initiative with AUKUS. I'm the guy that got 50 nations, out, not only in Europe, outside of Europe as well, to help Ukraine. I'm the guy that got Japanese to expand their budget. And for example, when I decided we used to have 40% of the computer chip, and we invented the chip, that little chip, the computer chip.
We invented the little chip, the computer chip. Okay, you could make an argument that we did. He didn't. He did not put NATO together. What he did do was the exact thing he warned us would cause Putin to respond with military force. That was putting a NATO country on his doorstep. And that's exactly what figurehead Biden and the people who run him and the people who were flat, undeniable traitors. General Milley is a traitor. He contacted his Chinese counterpart in the Chinese military, the Chinese communist military, and said, if the commander-in-chief, President Trump, decides we must launch an attack, I'll give you a heads up. The people who run Joe Biden did exactly the thing that would cause a war in Ukraine. And those are his arguments as to why he should serve another 4 years. Now, this is not just an argument against this form of governance or this party or the people who run Joe Biden. It's a reflection on how deeply steeped in lies this country has become. There's a lot of blame to go around, such as people standing on anything but the word of God. But for me, so much of it is parked squarely at the Mockingbird media. We've known for years about Joe Biden's mental decline. It's not been a question for many of us. The fact is this, there are easy ways to track this. For instance, you can go back through and remember Joe Biden talking about and attempting to quote our Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by, go, you know the thing.
In 2020, there was this time where suddenly the Mockingbird media reported that he'd had a childhood stutter. That Joe Biden had stuttered his whole life. In fact, I can show you articles where reporters have praised Joe Biden's misspeaking as the genius, the savant genius of a man who is changing phrases on the fly because he knows he might stutter over them. This week, we'll talk through an article. A gentleman spent 44 hours looking at every clip he could find of Joe Biden speaking all the way back through the archives of C-SPAN, and he didn't find a single instance of him stuttering, not one. In fact, that story just appeared, and then it just took on a life form because the Mockingbird media said it was true. Did they look into it? I don't know that they bothered to. The fact of Biden's demented mindset has been clear for a very, very long time. This is Joe Biden talking about his boss at the time.
Because they invaded another country and annexed a significant portion of it called Crimea. Right. He's saying that it was President, my boss, it was his fault.
President who? President Obama. I don't know that you go around forgetting your boss's name when your boss is the president of the United States. Again, you can have forgetful moments. I just did in this segment, but it is a pattern that the Mockingbird media has been aware of. Or they chose not to be. Or maybe even a worst case scenario. They can't see it. If Satan can spiritually blind us, and he can, then he can blind us to the things even of this world. For after all, he's the prince of this world, this fallen world. When was the last time you thanked God for allowing you to still can be able to see through this? I'm thinking of the last time I thanked God for that. Now, I don't know that I've gotten on my knees and thanked the Lord for this. I've thanked him for relocating our family out of the fallen country of Washington State. I thanked him for the relative safety of the high mountains of free America. I live in Idaho. I've thanked him for this program. I've thanked him for the privilege of speaking with you countless times. But I don't know that I've ever thanked him for allowing me to not fall into the lies of the world. That's something that we should all thank God for. This is Cory Booker, way back in the day, raising doubts about the state of minds, the cognitive ability of Joe Biden.
There are definitely moments where you listen to Joe Biden and you just wonder.
I think that we are at a tough point right now because there's a lot of people who are concerned about Joe Biden's ability to carry the ball all the way across the end line without fumbling. And I think that Castro has some really legitimate concerns about, can he be someone in a long, grueling campaign that can get the ball over the line? And he has every right to call that out.
In that case, Cory Booker is referring to Julian Castro, one of the DEI candidates that the Democrats had placed up for run for president, a small town mayor like Mayor Pete, but a BIPOC, therefore right about things. That's how deeply steeped into lies the Democrat Party's become. This is that same Democrat, Julian Castro, back in the day.
They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
To buy in. If she qualifies for Medicaid,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Being for it.
Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago? I mean, I can't believe that you said 2 minutes ago that they had to buy in, and now you're saying they don't have to buy. You're forgetting that.
I said anyone.
The Mockingbird media either became so spiritually blind they couldn't see this, or, much more likely, they actively covered it up. Why do I think that's more likely? Because they are right now going back into trying to cover for it. Not this time denying that he's senile, but denying that it's dangerous. They're saying he's senile but honest. You cannot. In the state of decline in which Joe Biden finds himself, it's probably Parkinson's. You can't always be honest, even though Joe Biden never really has been. How are you honest when you can't remember your boss's name or how your son died? And how can we tell the difference between lies and dementia? President Trump's team has taken an ad out. And it's, well, brutal? Is that the right word? Or is it honest?
He went. He became president. I didn't go, and I'm still vice president.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are.
Think about it. Everybody is known from day one how smart, how bright Hillary is. Everybody knows how tough she is.
You know, the rapidly rising
So be successful. I sincerely hope some of you become millionaires and billionaires. I mean that. But engage.
You know, there's a, during World War Two, where Roosevelt came up with a thing was totally different than
the comparison side by side of Joe Biden then and Joe Biden now sort of closes the case. Sometimes people choose to forget things. Sometimes the Mockingbird media counts on that. Sometimes Satan would rather have us forget, to blind us of things, even of this world. Senator Kennedy, in questioning Director Chris Wray, the disgraced FBI director, reminded the nation of something that we shouldn't forget, Satan would like us to forget. It's an extraordinary moment of questioning. You'll hear that next. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. When Jesus stood at the tomb in which his friend Lazarus's body was stored, he wept. Of course, it's famously the shortest phrase in the Bible. Jesus wept. And there's lots that you can construe into that. The God of the universe who created all things, looking about at something that was not his plan to exist. Well, not his desire. It was death. This isn't the way God had planned it. You could construe it that way in other ways. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Some have said that Jesus wept for sadness, that people didn't understand that he is the resurrection and the life, that he himself is that, was and is. So Jesus wept. You still don't get me. You still don't have faith. Some have said, look, Lazarus was his friend. Lazarus died. Jesus wept. Could be that simple. You can look at all these things, all these aspects of that fact of the life of Jesus Christ, and think through your own lens of why you might weep. Sometimes in death, it doesn't feel like it should happen. I just spent some time this week with a dear friend of mine. His wife, Liz, passed about a month ago. Tim had spent 6, maybe even 7 years helping her fight cancer. And Tim is not a man who shies away from a fight. He is a retired Navy SEAL. He was a BUDS instructor. So he's used to fighting, staying up late, not giving up. He never gave up with Liz. But Tim, for the first time in sight of me, wept. It wasn't supposed to be this way. They had built a house. Tim had promised, after all these deployments, all this time away, a combined 17-year Navy career with 3 deployments, he'd promised Liz, I'm going to build a house. We're going to design it for you. And they had. Liz got to live in that house for 6 years before the Lord called her home. Tim has the comfort of knowing that Liz is with the Lord Jesus. No one who's a believing Christian and has given their life to Jesus and knew that woman has any doubt about where Liz went and where she is now. And it wasn't supposed to be that way. Not for her kids, who no longer have this mother, who had walked with them at every moment, in every significant moment in their life, save one. She wasn't able to make it to her oldest daughter's college graduation, but she deployed Tim. There she was in the hospital bed, dying, and she said, you must go watch our daughter graduate. So he did. He got back in time to hold her hand as she went to the Lord, but it was the last time he spoke with her when she deployed him, and that is the way I choose to communicate it to Tim. You were deployed on one more mission for your wife. Your continuing mission, of course, is to continue to lead the family. Speaking in those terms, I think, helps a guy like Tim. I bring this all up because it's not supposed to be many ways, and I'm just considering the weeping Lord Jesus. I'm considering him as I look at this line of questioning Senator Kennedy put disgraced FBI Director Chris Wray through, talking about something that God, well, he knew we would fall this way, but it was never his design for kids to be treated this way.
Jeffrey Epstein had video surveillance in all of his homes and on his private island. And there have been articles after articles from witnesses who have said he videotaped sex acts with prominent people because he was trying to incur with young girls that he had procured to try to incur favor with those prominent people and potentially for to be able to blackmail them. And the FBI and other federal agencies have raided his houses. Do you have those tapes?
Again, I can't discuss the specifics of our law enforcement operations related to Mr. Epstein or Ms. Maxwell, but obviously we had very active investigation related to both of them. But whether it extends to other people, I'm not sure that's something
A suit was filed yesterday.
The comment of I can't comment has grown tiresome. The fact is, Jeff Epstein is, well, longish dead. He was suicided, in my opinion. the facts of his death simply do not indicate that he committed suicide. There's far, far too many things. The 911 tapes being destroyed. This is where prison officials called 911. Oh, we destroyed those. The fact that the cameras around his cell were just accidentally turned off. The camera in his cell was not working, darn it. The guards guarding his cell, gosh darn it, they fell asleep. Darn the stinking luck. It doesn't add up. So if I look at the Lord Jesus weeping outside the tomb of Lazarus, how much does the Lord Jesus weep? That Chris Ray doesn't stand and say, here are the tapes. Here are all the people involved. This is the same government that to this moment does not want to release all of the information about the murder of JFK. This is the same government that wanted to wait 75 years to let us see the Pfizer details, the details of Pfizer's supposed test of the modified RNA injections. We have to wait 75 years. They tried that. This is the same government that will look us in the eye and say it's all very, very normal. Does Jesus weep over these things? If I'm thinking of the tomb of Lazarus and I'm thinking of that day, in my mind's eye, and I don't know that it's described this way in the Bible, but in my mind's eye, for some reason, I see it as a hot day. It wasn't always hot in the Middle East. It commonly was, but maybe it's because I've seen it depicted this way in movies or television shows. I see it as this hot day, the smell of sweat, very common at that point, right? People, yeah, use oils, etc., to smell better, but I'm just trying to put this into my mind's eye, my feelings, standing there with the sun beating down and Jesus weeping. The sun is in the sky, the earth is still moving, it's still holding its orbit, people are still drawing breath, people can still speak, and here stands Jesus weeping. In the reality of what has become in the United States, I wonder if we should be weeping. Not out of despair, because we know God wins. We know we stand in victory with him, not out of despair. Let us not despair. The Bible tells us many, many different times to have a defense for your faith, a defense for your optimism. It tells us to not fear, but weeping over things like this. Jeffrey Epstein is one man, was one man, connected to many, and his plans never get enough discussion. A man who had intended to reseed the world with his seed and the bodies of young women or their eggs. This was part of his eugenics plan. Part of the reason maybe these powerful men wanted to go there, wanted to be involved in this. If you take Jeff Epstein's sinful desire to do that, to reseed the world in his image, and there were scientists who played along with that, who were willing to set up a lab for him, wouldn't Jesus weep at that? This is not the way it's supposed to be. I had created a family unit, the Lord Jesus might say. I had created for you what the family is to look like, a mother and a father. One marriage. Raising children so that they get both sides of humanity, that which the female brings and that which the male brings, and that coming together as one flesh to provide a solidity for kids. And you have a guy like Jeff Epstein says, you know what, let's just reseed the world after me. Does Jesus weep at that, or does he weep that we don't weep? Maybe it's both. He's a God that can do many things at one time. Maybe he can weep on many topics at one time. If you take Jeff Epstein's desire and you now cast a glance at websites like menhavingbabies.com, the commercial industrial level surrogacy that's happening in this nation where men can buy babies in bulk with no background check. They have no need to submit any criminal background at all. They simply purchase the children and then walk away. I've shared with you multiple cases where this has been used purposely by pedophiles to harm kids. the planning stage. They knew what they were going to do with these babies when they set out to purchase these babies. They told themselves what they were going to do. They made plans to do it. And God forgive this world, many times they did it. Jeff Epstein is not an isolated case. Does Jesus weep that we don't weep more often about it? One of the things that President Trump did, and it panicked people on the left, is he spoke about the massive amount of child sex trafficking happening in the United States. He fought it in a very material and real sense, and he spoke about it. When you speak about the things that aren't to be discussed in ways they're not to be discussed, you're going to panic a power base. Remember that Cindy McCain said, oh, we all knew what Jeffrey Epstein was doing. Cindy McCain, the wife of former Senator John McCain. John McCain, one of the most famous of the U.S. senators. A guy, like I mentioned my friend Tim at the beginning of this program, John McCain was not afraid to go to war. John McCain was not afraid in a prison camp. John McCain lived through that. But John McCain was what when it came to knowing what Jeff Epstein was doing? He was silent. Did Jesus weep over that? Was it because McCain was afraid? For all, Cindy McCain said, we all knew. When President Trump spoke about these things and made a point of making it a point, when he deployed more FBI agents to track down kids and to pull them out of slavery, you would think that could be celebrated across ideological lines, but it wasn't. In fact, it was hidden by the Mockingbird media. Newt Gingrich, himself a deeply compromised man. Incidentally, I've met Newt. I've had private conversations with Newt. He is a brilliant mind. In person, he is completely relatable. I didn't find him at all egotistical. I found him to be normal, relatable man, not a perfect man by any regard, has his own conflicts. He said something about President Trump that I think is worth hearing in light of the conversation in this segment.
I think Trump is the most aggressive and competent opponent that the Franklin Roosevelt coalition has ever faced. They've run the country now since 1932. They built huge bureaucracies, huge sets of rules. They've paid off millions of people with taxpayer money. And all of a sudden, they have an opponent who's very serious about dismantling and replacing their corrupt system. They're terrified of him. And from their standpoint, breaking the law, rigging the game, whatever it takes, they're going to do to try to beat him at every level. The trial in New York is just one example. It's totally dishonest. I actually think that the judge in the New York trial and the students illegally occupying the building in Columbia University are really the same people. They're people who believe in breaking the law to impose their will on the United States. And I think that you're seeing a trial which is probably the most dishonest, most corrupt trial of any political figure in American history.
So when Chris Wray is asked a very simple question, what about the Jeffrey Epstein tapes?
Jeffrey Epstein had video surveillance in all of his homes and on his private island. And there have been articles after articles from witnesses who have said he videotaped sex acts with prominent people because he was trying to incur with young girls that he had procured to try to incur favor with those prominent people and potentially to be able to blackmail them. And the FBI and other federal agencies have raided his houses. Do you have those tapes?
Again, I can't discuss the specifics of our law enforcement operations related to Mr. Epstein or Ms. Maxwell, but obviously we had very active investigation related to both of them. But whether it extends to other people, I'm not sure that's something
a suit was filed yesterday.
It obviously extends to other people. Obviously. The visits to the islands and the universal attempt to continue to block this obviously extends to other people. Fact of the matter is, in my mind, Jesus does weep. He weeps because it was not supposed to be this way. He weeps because we don't weep enough. And maybe he weeps as well at segments like this. Where are you celebrating, me, Todd? Where are you celebrating that redemption is still a free gift? Where are you celebrating that I'm still pursuing you and the audience and all of you? Where are you celebrating the fact I see these children? I see what's being done to them. I'm going to use evil for good. Maybe he weeps that I can spend a segment like this and not step back and say how wonderful it is that you and I will live forever with glorified bodies on a new heaven and a new earth where none of this will exist, where there'll be no reason to weep. Maybe the Lord Jesus weeps at that. A reminder that as the world has fallen, we are visitors here, sojourners. We will have a permanent home with the Lord Jesus where none of this will exist, and he himself will never again have reason to weep. That's worth celebrating in tears of joy. We'll come back on The Disciples' View with the Tower Babbling. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. The left is choosing to panic, and President Trump's team has distanced itself from Project 2025. It's a 900-page plan put together by the extremists at the Heritage Foundation. Radical extremists. On MSNBC on the 11th hour with Stephanie Ruhle, she had two people on. Ruth Bengat, who is a unbelievable source of disinformation, who pretends to be someone who fights disinformation. And then Ahmad Baba, consultant, columns at The Independent, co-founder of Rant Media, seen on MSNBC, New York Times, WAPO, etc. Stephanie asked him to talk about how this plan would change America.
So what Trump is trying to do here is essentially remove and target all the guardrails that prevented his worst impulses in his first term. So what we have here is, like Ruth outlined here, this purging of civil servants that are doing just their day-to-day job. And he wants to install these loyalists and then bring agencies under the umbrella of the executive branch. So we're talking about shutting down the FBI entirely. We're talking about defunding the DOJ. We're talking about eliminating the Department of Commerce. We're talking about bringing the FTC and the FCC under the executive branch.
I have news for him. They're already under the executive branch. Those bureaucratic entities are managed by the executive branch. They're not a fourth branch of government. Congress made the horrible, terrible mistake of creating, of treating those groups, the agencies, like mini governments. They outsourced so much of what they themselves are to do to these agencies that those agencies now run Washington, D.C. And I would remind Ahmed Baba that it was Barack Hussein Obama, God bless Rush Limbaugh, who used that nickname for him. It was Barack Hussein Obama who paid 1,500 people to stay in Washington, D.C. to teach civil servants, so-called, how to refuse to carry out the lawful orders of the president, Donald Trump. So, yes, there are career civil service people who are very, very good people. I've got some in my family. There are also people who are utterly entrenched. And this has been the case with far too many presidents. taking political hires and giving them civil service jobs forever so they can continue to change the country in the image of the person who was elected. Obama just did it more openly than others. All these things have consequences. All of these steps have consequences. One of the consequences is being seen in countries like Finland, where the ruling class took over and the ruling class decided that they're going to have open borders. And when the ruling class decided to have these open borders, they decided that they would not care about what happens to people who enter or to people living there when illegal immigrants with no connection to their societies are allowed to do whatever they wish. This is a video running in Finland. It is women on camera who are reminding immigrants to not rape them.
Stop! Don't touch me there. This is my no-no square. Stop! Don't touch me there. This is my no-no square.
That is a real video. Because there's been such a move by the bureaucratic class to so control countries that they simply rush in people who, as they say, have no connection, no grounding in respect for the culture, and in all too many cases, no grounding in respect for women at all, particularly women who will not wear the hijab. These are realities. Project 2025, we'll talk about this more in the Tower of Babbling, is a reasonable response to bureaucrats who have simply taken over. It is a bureaucratic insurrection, or to coin a phrase, it's actually a great website, legal insurrection, a legal-esque insurrection. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that prove the point. The whole theory behind the Tower of Babbling. First one from MSNBC. This is back to the topic of Project 2025. MSNBC's Joy Reid had a very, very famous comedian on. Very famous. You'll recognize the name. Very, very famous comedian. Dean Obadalia. So famous. Pardon me. So very famous. Dean Obadalia offering his thoughts on Project 2025. And you'll be shocked at the comparison.
This is like Project 2025, the prophecy come to life now, even before winning any kind of election here. And the thing I tell listeners, Project 2025 is the GOP's version of Mein Kampf. The difference is Mein Kampf is only 700 pages. Project 2025 is 900 pages.
Wait a minute. Mein Kampf was written by one man in a prison cell, and it was his struggle, Adolf Hitler's. Project 2025 is put together by college professors and others from the Heritage Foundation, one of the most mainstream policy committee groups in the world. A stalwart in Washington, D.C., based everything in Project 2025 is based upon constitutional structure. It's not a mistake that he's using the Mein Kampf phrase. They are back to doing this. The Nation has a cover of President Trump as Hitler. This doesn't work anymore. This is this arm waving that does not work anymore. Praise God. Next soundbite in today's Tower of Babbling. You have Gavin Newsom making a claim about President Trump. He said something about President Trump and the fires and what he had to go through in order to get help.
I had to sit there and make phone calls and beg the president personally to do the right thing and reimburse the people of our state because we had unprecedented wildfires, unprecedented flooding, unprecedented drought. Had to beg him to make the case, to step up and step in to help other people.
Wow, that's awful. Awful. that Gavin Newsom had to beg President Trump to reimburse the state of California. Reimburse, that's an interesting phrase. The state of California, which has spent itself into bankruptcy time and time again, and then gets bailed out time and time again. But what was the truth? See, Gavin Newsom just said that as he's warming up what I think is a shadow campaign for president. What did he say in 2020?
I say this on many, many occasions. There's not one phone call that I have made to the president where he hasn't quickly responded. And almost every instance, he's responded favorably in terms of addressing the needs, the emergency needs of the state through COVID, and over the course of the last at least year and a half that I've been governor as it relates to these wildfires. He may make statements publicly, but the working relationship privately has been a very effective one.
Wow, I wonder which one of him is telling the truth, because there's multiple Gavin Newsoms. I wonder which one's telling the truth, don't you? Who could know? Who could know? That is a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
I had mentioned earlier in the segment just prior to this, that I had occasion to visit with some friends. My friend Tim Cruikshank was in town. Tim recently lost his wife, Liz, and she's gone to the Lord, and everybody who knew Liz knows where she's gone. Anybody who's a Christian knows where Liz has gone because of how she lived her life and how she served the Lord Jesus. I also had the occasion to do something that's very North Idaho. Four of us got together at a friend's mountain home. It's way up there, way out. 35 acres, basically his own woods. And we drove out with the intention of shooting guns and eating meat, grilled meat. I brought some Mexican food along the way, fantastic Mexican place in this little town called Rathdrum, Idaho. I didn't have time to cook, and we were going to grill out there. So drove all the way out to my friend Jim's home. And Jim is a retired SWAT leader. And Tim is a retired Navy SEAL. And Jack is retired from other forms of law enforcement. I'm the only guy there without that background. And when I arrived, sure enough, there was the gun range set up. There were the weapons we were going to be using. And it had been a while since I shot. I was nervous because I actually haven't shot a weapon since I had shoulder surgery, and I knew that my pistol mechanics would be off. And they turned out to be off. I brought with me an AR-15. It's actually an M4 carbine that a friend of mine built for me. He's himself a retired Marine. He built it for me, and I don't get to shoot it enough. And certainly not around guys like that who know how to shoot like that. But then something happened. We talked. There's something in my heart that when tough men share their hearts, it's incredibly meaningful to me. It's incredibly touching. Jim and Tim have both been forced to take human life. It was them or the other person. Someone was going to die. Both of them have been forced to do that in their lines of work. Both of them are still capable of doing it. Tim, given what he's gone through the past 6 or 7 years trying to help his wife Liz beat cancer, isn't as trained as he used to be. In fact, he bemoans that. Jim is still well trained. Can still put 100 pounds on his back and run up a hill behind his house and go up and do exercises up there and come back down. Still well trained. But we sat in Jim's home and we talked about pain. And Tim, who just lost his wife, wept with us. It was one of the greatest moments of manhood I've ever had the privilege to witness and to be part of. As those men were talking, we talked about Tim. I just happened to bring up a challenge in my life and communicated honestly to these men. And they prayed for me. One of them said, "I feel like I'm hurting with you." See, there's a cartoon version of men of North Idaho. The cartoon version is that we just run out of words after "how you doing." Well, that's not true. Not for a lot of us. The cartoon version is we gave each other bro slaps on the back, went and got the guns and blew stuff up. Now, we did shoot, but not until after we prayed and talked through God's plan for Tim and what God may be saying to him, what he may need to learn from this. And as we sat with our brother and wept with him. Now, when we did go shoot, I did warn the guys, I am out of practice. This is going to be embarrassing. In fact, I said to Tim, I want you to take me through this M4 carbine as if I was a little boy. Show me the Navy SEAL way. So he did. In fact, he removed a piece of equipment from my rifle. This is don't need it. Jim came over and removed another piece of equipment. He changed how I hold my rifle. I've been around rifles my whole life. I'm not a bad shot with my AR-15. I was hitting metal targets at 100 yards. But they're so expert that I simply accepted the new way of holding the rifle. And then I told them, guys, I'm nervous. My mechanics are going to be off. You know what they said to me? Tim took me aside. He goes, you never need to be nervous around us. You've done something else with your life. Your work is just as valuable as mine. Please don't ever be nervous to come to us and say, there's things you know that I don't. Please. See, this is the softness of a warrior. The softness of a man who's had to take lives. The softness of a man who did all of those things so that the bad people didn't get to you and they didn't get to his family or our country. Likewise with Jim, as a law enforcement officer, was forced to take 7 lives. He did it so they didn't get to you. There's this cartoon version people have of cops, particularly people of the hard left, bloodthirsty people, cold people. And I'm sure that there are bloodthirsty and cold cops, just as there are bloodthirsty and cold talk show hosts. But the reality for most of these guys is, it's a job. It's a job with a high calling and a high cost. One of the things that Tim communicated again and again and again was how Liz chose to stand by him through all these deployments. One of the things we were able to share with him was this, brother, God chose the perfect wife for your Navy SEAL life. And now she has her reward. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until the Lord decides you and I can speak again together, may the peace of God that transcends all understanding wash over you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.